the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Pitch. On this day, of course, when Jose Mourinho has been sacked, I'm delighted to be joined here with Mark Ogden, of course. Oggy's a regular on the show and covers, of course, all of football in Manchester. Always a pleasure to have him on. Oggy, how's things, mate?
Good, Phil, yeah. It's been a bit of a cold day, but I think everyone in Manchester's, well, certainly Red Hart is a bit happier today.
There certainly is a sense of relief around Mourinho getting sacked for Man United fans, but that's only half of it. The other half of it is what's next. First of all, I'm told that Mourinho had no idea he was being sacked this morning. Was this a decision they made after Liverpool?
It looks like it, but I've been told that it was almost as though that was the final straw. And having been at Anfield on Sunday, I can obviously see that, the way the team played, but you know, it was a culmination of a variety of things. The overall performances, the failure of certain players, big-name players, to perform. Jose's inability to, you know, give the young players a chance, which I think might be a bit harsh. You look at the number of games that, you know, Rashford's played with Martial, but just the sense that he's had a decent squad at his disposal and he's not utilised it. But on top of that, the mood, the toxic mood that he kind of brought to the club, which, you know, let's be honest, he's got form for wherever he's been. It's just a final straw of the weekend. It was like, you know, why are we putting up with this? Because the results are poor. We're 19 points off the top of the table. The team's 11 points on the top four. You know, it had to come to an end at some point, and that was it.
Now the question mark becomes, what was Mourinho's fault and what wasn't? Van Gaal didn't succeed either. Yeah. And Van Gaal was an exceptional manager with his track record. Mourinho, I think this will be the only club since Porto he hasn't won the league at, which makes me wonder why. Yeah. Obviously, there's a fantastic Manchester City adding into the picture here too. The question is, okay, no matter who United appoint, do they have the leadership inside the football club to restore Manchester United back to where they were?
Well, as of today, I don't think they do. But I think what I've been told and from what I'm hearing is that they now realise, the people at the Glazers and Ed Woodward, that they've taken on too much on their own, that they can't run the club as they have been doing, as a, you know, without a director of football, without a proper structure in place. It's taken 5 years of pretty much abject failure since Ferguson left. They have won trophies, but, you know, it's been pretty dismal, to realise that the model they thought could work isn't working. So, you know, I think by the time next summer comes around, they will have a director of football in place, they'll have a manager in place, and they'll have a more 21st century approach to things. But, you know, it's taken a lot of time and a lot of money to get to this situation. But, you know, you asked before, how much is Mourinho's fault? Well, this rail back into Van Gaal as well, as a manager with a great pedigree. You know, I always thought that Van Gaal was the wrong guy to appoint, because when he took the job, he arrived at the club as almost a legend after the World Cup with Holland, but he hadn't managed in club football for 4 years, having left Bayern Munich. He had no idea of the transfer market. He had no real contacts in the transfer market. And, you know, the signings that he's made are kind of indicative of that, because I don't think any of his players, apart from Anthony Martial, are actually there anymore, are actually doing a job. So, you know, he was out of time when he arrived. And I think Mourinho, looking back, was also out of time, but they had to recruit Mourinho because Man City had beaten them to Pep Guardiola, and they had to strike back because they had to have a guy with a winning track record and charisma to get people to the club, to get fans bums on seats. But it's just not worth saying. I think Mourinho has been quite quick to complain about lack of this and lack of that. You know, he's had £400 million on 11 players, so he has signed players. I just think he's invested badly. And I think, you know, forgive me for kind of going on here, but, you know, you look at Lucas Torreira, £25 million at Arsenal. He's been a fantastic signing. And anyone who saw the World Cup would have said he looked a good player. And, you know, there are not many bad Uruguayan internationals. They've just got a certain tenacity and they bring something to it. And so that was £25 million. A player that's no kind of... He's not an unknown. You know, people know who he is. But he said they spend more than twice that on Fred from Shakhtar. Mm-hmm. He's not even getting a kick. So, you know, Mourinho might complain about the scouting network, about this, that and the other, but, you know, he's got his own eyes. He knows what he's signing. And I don't believe for 1 minute that any player arrived at Man United under Mourinho against his wishes. And Jose Mourinho, when he arrived, was far too powerful a manager to accept signings above his head. So, the rumours that Paul Pogba was signed for commercial reasons rather than football reasons, I just don't buy that. That was his first summer at the club. He'd been there for 3 months. There's no way in a million years that Jose Mourinho would go to Man United and say, I don't want him, but okay, sign him because you're the boss. It's just not the way that Mourinho works.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Whether there is first choices, second choices, or third choices, it doesn't matter. He has to take responsibility for what he signed. And if he's not responsible for how new signings perform, what is he responsible for? I think as a manager, you have to accept that you live and die by it. Because if those players came in and were successful, Mourinho would be the first one to tell you they're my players and I bought them.
Absolutely. Eric Bailly was a good sign in his first season at United. I thought he did really well, but since then, I think he's been so badly mismanaged by Mourinho that his confidence has been shattered, and he just can't perform. And I think, you know, a lot of players have been handed heavily by Mourinho. There's not a lot of love from Mourinho. Even tough love's kind of disappeared. It's just tough, and I just think modern day players don't respond to that kind of treatment anymore. There was no soft side to Mourinho, and players just got tired of it. And I think, you know, the performances are down to him. They're down to him alone. And, you know, when he signed Lukaku, it was celebrated by United as a big coup that he signed Lukaku ahead of Chelsea. But, again, Lukaku's been terrible this season. Is that because Lukaku's a bad player? I don't think he's a great player, but he's better than what he's performing. And that, you know, Mourinho has not exactly managed him that well at all. So I just think for United's part of view, thank God it wasn't Alvaro Morata, because I think if Morata had been sent United to Mourinho, he'd have been in an absolute shell by 6 months of his contract, because he would have been the worst player for United and the worst player for Mourinho. So, you know, it wasn't much of a choice looking back, Morata or Lukaku, but I think United got the best of that bad deal.
What direction do you think you need to go in now? Because obviously there's a lot of talk about Solskjaer coming into the end of the season. 6 months is a long time to be a caretaker manager. Obviously I don't see United spending in January. Where do they go from here? What type of manager do you think United look for at this point?
Well, I mean, I'll address the Solskjaer thing first. I think Solskjaer comes in 6 months with the kind of remit of just making it a happier place again, getting smiles on faces, getting United playing a certain attacking brand of football. But, you know, as much as all United fans love Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he had a disastrous time at Cardiff, who United play at the weekend, which could be a bad omen for Solskjaer. And I just don't think enough of those players in that squad know who he is or actually care who he is. And, yeah, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer scored a goal in 1999. I was of United's greatest ever, but does that actually matter to Anthony Martial or to Diogo Dalo or Matteo Darmian? It probably doesn't. So it can only have a short-term impact. And from that point on, I agree, it's going to be a struggle. You know, do you fancy Solskjaer's chances tactically against Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, and, you know, Thomas Tuchel in the Champions League? Probably not. But if he can get to the end of the season without any more damage, and if you can keep him in the Premier League, you know, by the time the summer comes around, they might have a manager that wants to come in at. The only guy that I've been told is a candidate is Mauricio Pochettino. He's the only guy that they want. You know, he's got big admirers in the boardroom. He's got a big admirer in Alex Ferguson. And, you know, although his influence has waned over the years, he still has a voice. And if Pochettino could be persuaded to get a little try, but I think that's what they'll do. But obviously, they want a permanent manager next summer, so he might have other options. And if Pochettino does go to Real Madrid, you know, we've got a problem, because I don't see what their plan B is.
Sorry, go ahead, Oggy.
I was going to say, if Zidane was in the plan, if he's plan A or plan B, then it's going to go for him now. He's available now. Yeah. So.
And this is the thing, is that I've got two questions here. Why did they identify Solskjaer? Of all the legends that are out there, you might as well give it to Cantona. I know he's got some managerial experience, but I don't count Molde as managerial experience. What the cheapest currency in football, as we know, is rolling out legends when things aren't going well. So I'm trying to understand why Solskjaer. Why did you identify him? And you're quite right. He doesn't get the respect of a dressing room. You know, when he walks in and says, I'm Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, none of those players care. Now, Zidane gets that respect, but Solskjaer doesn't.
And the question is,
why Solskjaer? What problem does he solve?
Well, it's a good question, and, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I can make an assumption that, you know, there are five guys that they won't give it to: Ryan Giggs, Gary Neville, Paul Scholes, Phil Neville and Nicky Butt, because of the Class of 92 connection.
Of course.
You know, Giggs is in the job now. You know, Mark Hughes has had a bad year. You wouldn't want to give it to Mark Hughes after two sackings in 12 months.
Right.
you know, Brian Robson, Steve Bruce, these guys are all kind of yesterday's men. And, you know, Roy Keane, I think the last thing that dressing room needs right now is Roy Keane after Jose Mourinho. So, you know, there are, how many options have you got? I mean, that is the problem that United have got right now. They're a club that, the reason why Mourinho's probably lasted so long is because there was no Carlo Ancelotti out there waiting for a job, you know. So, Laurent Blanc is another name that's been mentioned, but, you know, Laurent Blanc might get a tune out of some of the players, but he's not very inspirational. One thing that's been mentioned to me about Solskjaer, it's quite an interesting angle, is that he was the guy that managed the reserve team when Paul Pogba came through, mm-hmm. and Jesse Lingard. But, you know, Pogba's a massive part of Man United's commercial, you know, project, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah.
And that's not the wrong reason for me to be there. But, you know, Solskjaer has a relationship with Pogba. He kind of moulded him as a player. He was an advocate of United. The two get on really well. So, if part of the reason bringing Solskjaer is to get Pogba playing, then that might not be the worst idea, though. Because if you get Pogba playing and happy, but like it or not, he's quite an influential figure in the dressing room, Paul Pogba. And if Pogba's happy and performing well, he drags people along with him. So, as you've seen, when Pogba's not playing well and he's got a negative head on, it drags people the other way. So, maybe starting Pogba's head out is part of it, but then that's too much he builds as Paul Pogba. I think an issue that needs addressing next time, I think.
I keep hearing things like someone needs to get the club in order to hire them. I keep hearing somebody who knows Manchester United inside out. Alex Ferguson didn't know Manchester United inside out when they hired him. Wasn't the United man. Cantona wasn't the United man. I don't really understand this obsession with somebody has to get the club. What does that even mean anyway? Get what club? Because it bears no resemblance to the club at Solskjaer, was that?
I agree completely with that. I think it's the oldest trick in the book. But I think on this occasion, I think it's almost like a comfort blanket in the sense that they've had three managers that didn't get the club whatsoever. They now need, even if it's just the people, the staff at the club, and the fans need some sort of connection there, because they've grown so tired of watching three successive managers play negative, defensive, unambitious football that they just want somebody that reminds them of the good old days. And it's right. It's the sort of thing that Everton do or Tottenham used to do. It's not a Man United way of doing things, but perhaps on this occasion, for 6 months, it's just what they need. I'm just not sure that Solskjaer is a man that is the right man to do that, because his credentials as a manager aren't great. And like I say, the only way that these players at the club will know who he is the guy that's seen on a few pictures at the stadium when they're walking through to get changed. So right. It's a strange one.
Yeah, it's just, why did they single him out? I don't understand. And finally, Ogie, the director of football, that's been talked about. In my opinion, that has to be appointed before a manager. It can't be the other way around. You can't get a manager and then a director of football. Director of football has to have a relationship with a manager if they're going to have that. That is almost as an important appointment as a manager, in my opinion. Some people talking about Paul Mitchell, of course, at RB Leipzig. What do you think United will do in that situation?
Well, the time frame, you're right. United are quite clear. Well, first of all, the reason why they haven't got it at the moment is because Mourinho made it clear he didn't want to work under director of football. So United have to respect that. And then the view was always that nothing could change until the manager changed. Mm-hmm. The manager's changed now. This 6 months gives them the time to identify a director of football. But, you know, do you put the cart before the horse? What is the point of bringing a manager before a director of football?
Correct.
So you'd think that a director of football would come in first and then play a part in recruiting the new manager. So, you know, 6 months is a long time, and there won't be many directors of football that would turn down the Man United job. It's a great job. You know, it's the opportunity to kind of have your own blueprint at Manchester United. So there will be candidates out there. You know, maybe the best ones are already in jobs. People like Chicky Figueroa starting at Man City, and you know that is a problem that they've got, that the best guys are already taken. But there'll be somebody out there that can do a job. But I agree that they have to bring the guy in before they bring the manager, because if the manager's there first, he would feel like he's got authority over the director of football. So
right. We'll
wait and see, because you know, United, as we've found in the last 5 or 6 years, can't always do things the right way around.
Lastly, Soggy, do you think they'll do anything in January, or do you think they'll skip it?
I think they might try and get a couple out, but they need to bring somebody in. I think, you know, if it's Solskjaer, it looks like it's going to be, I think he'll have the mantra that, you know, these are good players and they can do much better than they are. I trust these players, you know, talk them up and then try and get more out of them. But, you know, if there's a if it's a centre half there or a centre midfielder there or a number 10 out there they can get hold of that's going to make a difference, then go for it. But it's a strange January this year. I don't see many obvious targets. I was at Anfield last week watching the Liverpool Napoli game. I thought Koulibaly was outstanding at centre half, and you know, if you had to get him, no matter who the manager is in the summer, he'll be an absolute asset. So you know, that is an obvious area of massive weakness at United. But you know, like you say, how can you get a big money signing in January without a manager or director of football in place? So unless we know how it works. You know, the clubs will say, not just United, all clubs will say, well, you know, we didn't speak to that manager until we sat with the manager. We know what goes on. We know that managers are lined up months and months before. So who knows? Man United might already know who the next manager is. The new manager might have already agreed to come in next summer, and there'll be conversations had about transfer targets and what have you. So, you know, that is all obviously against the rules of the game, but it goes on. So,
well, at least they didn't leak this sacking before they sacked them, like the last two. So they managed to keep it quiet. Okay, as always, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I love your coverage. Thank you so much, and I'll catch up with you the rest of the season. Mate, you and your family have a lovely Christmas.
Cheers, Fernando. Have a good time.
All the best, mate. Thanks, bye.